Continue where we left off yesterday in Chapter 8 of Mandya Kanda, Text 252, Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's a very interesting section of Chaitanya Bhagavat because it reveals the nature of the non-devotees. What is their mentality? What are they thinking when they see us? What are they feeling when they see us or hear our kirtan? Because we may make a projection, oh, they like us, or maybe they don't like us, or whatever. But things don't change much. Human beings are human beings. 1 million years ago, 500 years ago, 100 years ago, or 1 year ago, or even today, human nature is human nature. It's like the books for mankind, Manusamhita. There are different books that are written to guide the human society, and these are for all times and all places and for all human beings. That's like Prabhupada says, we find in every country we find the four orders of life. The social orders. We don't find the spiritual orders. And that culture, that Aryan culture, that spiritually oriented culture that had four spiritual orders and four social orders was called Varnashram Dharma, especially in Bharatvarsha. But anywhere you go in the world, you'll find the intellectual class, the intelligentsia. In Colombia, in Australia, in England, in Russia, and in India, the intelligent class of people, the thinkers, the inventors, the scientists, they're the Brahmins. And then the administrators, the warriors, the army, the soldiers, they're the Kshatriyas. Then the businessmen, the business class, the bankers, the traders, the business people, they're the Vaishyas, farmers, landholders. And then the common laborers. So these are basic axioms of human society. Well, this isn't ancient history or mythology, as Prabhupada would say, mythology or mythology. But these are the mentalities of people in Navadvipa 500 years ago. Of course, many of them were also Brahmins. So you can't say these were a bunch of low-class people that were passing comments, atheistic or negative comments. They were intelligent, rational, educated people. Many of them were pundits. But they weren't inclined toward Vaishnavism, and especially not inclined at all towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's expression of Vaishnavism. Because it was very unique, his expression of Vaishnavism was euphoric dancing and chanting and congregationally. Everyone, get everyone together, raise your hands and dance and glorify the names of the Lord. This was not done in Vedic culture, especially in Mayapur, Navadvipa 500 years ago. Vaishnavism, Ram Bhaktis, Narayan, Vishnu, Krishna Bhaktis, it was a very solitary practice. In people's homes, they did silent meditation, chanting of mantras, chanting of prayers. No one went out to the streets. No one ever before took their religion to the streets. They went in a mandir and peacefully prayed and did pujas and yagyas, or in the confines and privacy of their homes, they did pujas and yagyas. But nobody went out to the street corners and said, hey buddy, take a book. Hey man, take a Bhagavad Gita. No one stood on the street corners banging kartals and cymbals and drums. Haribol, and jumping and dancing like mad. No one ever saw such a thing in the whole subcontinent of India. And all of a sudden, 500 years ago, this famous Digvijaya Pandit, Nimai Pandit, had defeated the northeastern India's most famous pundit. He came from Kashmir, Keshava Kashmiri. His name was Keshava Pandit, Pandit Keshavaji. Pandit Keshavaji came from Kashmir, and because he heard that in Navadvipa, which was the center of Naya, Navadvipa was the center of Naya and Vyakaran 500 years ago. It was a university town. It was like some places in America or England, I don't know, wherever Oxford University is, or there's some cities in Europe and Australia and England that are called university towns, college towns. There's a small, everyone in the town is going to one university or two or three. Study. There's some places like this. So Navadvipa was a university place, a university village. Everyone was carrying books. Everyone was a student. Everyone was a pundit. The center of learning. Under every banyan tree, someone was studying. It's like banyan trees, because banyan trees are for studying shastra and speaking shastra. People trees are for meditation. Panchavati. Panchavati means five types of trees. Whenever any sadhus, you see in Chitrakoot and other places in India, when any sadhus gather together and live in some samaj or some ashram, they always, if they have some big area, they have some big land, they plant five trees. It's called Panchavati. And each of these trees is meant for a different function, because these trees are, they contribute to that activity. So whenever the Srimad Bhagavatam is being studied, or shlokas are being studied, or Bhagavad Path is being given, because they didn't have these kind of halls and all these things, there was no steel and cement 500 years ago. But there were trees, there were banyan trees. Banyan trees, this is in Shastra, banyan trees is where people would sit and study the Bhagavatam, or any Shastra, and speak the Shastra. And people trees, people would meditate. People trees are for people. Ashwat, Ashwat Briksh. Krishna says in Gita, Ashwat, Ashwat Brikshaham. Ashwata Briksham. Among trees, I am the Ashwat. Bhagavad Gita, Vibhuti, Vibhuti Yoga. So Ashwat means I am the Ashwata. I am the people tree. So this was the ideal tree for meditation, chanting Anek, the Gopal Mantra, Kam Gayatri, Brahma Gayatri. Then there's another tree which they would do another activity, which I can't remember, study grammar or something. And you see, if you go to some place like Chitrakoot and some big ashrams, the devotees that live there, when they're studying the Bhagavatam, they'll sit there, and under each of these trees they have platforms, circular mandalas. And then the sadhus in the ashram, when they have Bhagavatam class, as we have our place for Bhagavatam class, which is a temple room. Of course, many temple rooms have banyan trees in them. But usually it's out in the jungle, and they live in small kutiyas. So you see four or five students in the morning under the banyan tree studying Bhagavatam. Or a class would be held under the banyan tree. Then when they want to do their Gayatri, morning Gayatri, everyone gets up from the tree and goes over to the people tree and sits down. And then when they want to study Naya, they get up and go to the other tree, and like this Pleksha tree and Dak tree or whatever, I forget. So it's very interesting. And it's similar when you go to university. You go to this classroom for chemistry, and this classroom for biology, and this class, everyone follows. Isn't it right? You've been to university or college, you go to a different classroom for different studies. So it has its basis. So similarly, these are just certain facts of the culture. So anyway, this Vrindavan Das Thakur is trying to give us some viewpoint or understanding of the mentality that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dealing with 500 years ago. Because we are also many places dealing with the same mentality. We're engaged in kirtan and sankirtan, and people write in newspapers so many things. So there's many, many verses here which indicate the condition of the times, which haven't really changed. Times are the same. Some people like us, most people don't. Some people pass good comments, most people pass bad comments. And the other point we can understand is very similar. It sounds like Bhagavad Gita, the divine and demoniac, different characteristics. So we'll pick up where we left off. Everyone's in Shiva Sangam, all Lord Chaitanya's intimate associates, who are all brahmanas, basically. And they're having kirtan there, and they're dancing in great happiness, absorbed in serving the holy name. Meditating in the holy name and meaning of the holy name. People are not allowed to come into the kirtan. They're locked outside because they're not, don't have the adhikar and don't have the permission. Prabhu agya. We read the verse Prabhu agya. It means the order, the nirmantran, the invitation. They don't have the invitation or order from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As we said, no submission, no permission. No permission, no admission. So this is a situation. So now it's amazing how many comments people are passing. There's about 40 verses about, can you imagine, 40 verses. We have 5 days class. It's all about the mentality of the non-believers. Maybe after 5 days, we will become non-believers. we'll change parties and say, well, they have some pretty good arguments. Maybe those Hare Krishnas are bad after all. I should join the anti-party. No, that's not the idea. The idea is to increase our faith and help us understand what a great contribution Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given all of us by inaugurating how much compassion, how much love, and how much tolerance and determination the Lord has in giving His mercy to the conditioned souls to tolerate all of this inconvenience and tolerate all this criticism. Because He didn't have to do it. He did it for us. The whole thing He's subjugating Himself to is for our benefit. So He's suffering for us. So if we have to suffer in our various centers around the world to establish Krishna consciousness, then we shouldn't feel any problem, because our forefather has also done the same thing. The father of the Sankirtan movement, the inaugurator, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has also suffered so much for the conditioned souls. So this is verse 252. Kehabale egula degite na jujai, egula rasambhashe sakala kirti jai. Someone else said, these people inside this house, Shiva Sangam, chanting Hare Krishna, they are not fit to be seen. If anyone talks to them, they will lose all their piety. This is a fact that karma is transferred. In Padma Purana, there's about 7 chapters about karma. Transferral of punya and pap by sitting, by talking, by eating, so many things. They're described all the minute details. So this is a point of Shastra. If you converse with somebody, you take on some of their reactions. And that's similar. There's also verses where it says, if you talk about someone's bad qualities, oh, he's this or she's that, the very bad quality that you're pointing out, which may be a complete fact, black and white fact, about one lady or gentleman, that quality you're speaking of, it will go out and it'll come back twice as fast and twice as hard. And that quality will look, it's just like they have these mantras, or they have these arrows in the Mahabharata. You chant the mantra and you shoot the arrow. The arrow must kill someone. It goes like this, and it has to kill someone. If it can't find the enemy, it comes back and kills the one who released it. They have such mantras. So these aspersions or aparadas, when we cast them out towards devotees or any jiva or any person, some offensive statement or even mentality, aggressive reaction, it goes out like one of these mantra arrows from the Dhanurveda, and it doesn't find its target, because the target already has it. The person you're saying, oh, he's envious, this, that, okay, he is. So the arrow says, well, there's no reason shooting him, because I'm supposed to hit the envious person, but the person who said this is actually more envious, and the arrow goes, boom, it comes right back to us. Double speed, double impact, and double reaction. So that's why this is not a very good practice. It's a very bad practice to ever offend any living entity, because anything, as we say, there's a very interesting statement we grew up with. Of course, it's practically, if one can live by this one colloquial statement, then you'll probably attain spiritual perfection, or at least perfection in all and every endeavor you may undertake. And that statement is, if you cannot say something good about a person, then don't say anything at all. The best thing you can say about a person, the best thing you can say about anyone at any time, is to tell them something about themselves and God. You can tell about some person, tell them about their relationship, their sambandha, Krishna sambandha. Tell someone about their relationship with God, which means preaching, giving Krishna. And that's the best thing. And if we can't do that, then chup karo, mano. As sometimes people say, there's also another phrase, they say, you can speak anything, but don't put it in print. This is the materialism. You can speak anything, but don't write it and put it in a book or something. Because then you're subject to libel. or you can be sued in the court for defamation or some defamation of character. So we have a different phrase. If you're thinking something bad or thinking something offensive, don't say it. Better don't say it. It's safer. And even the safest thing is don't think it. So this is so now he's saying we'll lose all our piety. Omnirtya kirtan jari bhala loka deke seye imatahaya deka parateke. He goes on, whoever this someone is. If a gentleman sees such dancing and chatting, he also will become like them. If you gaze upon these people, of course we're outside, we're locked outside in the streets of Nadia, and we can't get in Srivasangam. By chance, if we could climb the wall and look over the wall, the wall is 20 feet high, but if we could look over the wall and we could glance upon the kirtan party and gaze upon them, then when we see they're chatting and dancing Swami step or whatever, I don't know, Lord Chaitanya, I guess whatever Prabhupada was dancing, that's Mahamrubhu Kirtan. If you see that chatting and dancing, then you're finished. You'll become like them. You'll join the madman's party. You'll join the madman's party and start chanting and dancing like them. And then he says, see for yourself. See for yourself. And then the purport, Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He's paraphrasing the same verse in his own way. If good people see such dancing and chanting, if they happen to see, out of curiosity, I'm just curious, I don't want to be a Hare Krishna, I don't want to chant like you people, I don't want to dance, I just came to visit your Sunday feast, please don't pressurize me, I'm a student, you do what you do, I'm not here to criticize, I'm curious, I heard about you people, I just wanted to see your Sunday feast, I heard it's quite euphoric, and you dance and you chant Hare Krishna. I would like to sit here and be a spectator. Don't bother me or push me. Okay, fine. So he sits there, he's looking. And he's just completely immobile. He's frozen. He's just maybe sitting in a chair. In some temples they have chairs and benches along the sides in the kirtan hall for old people or old devotees or whatever. And then, or visitors. So he's sitting there. After 5-10 minutes of the kirtan, he starts moving his head a little bit. And then his foot starts going like this. Then he starts smiling. He says, these people really seem like they're happy. They really seem like there's some kind of inner joy that's emanating from them, and that their smiles on their faces look so genuine. They're not plastic artificial smiles induced by some conditioning or social pressure. They seem to be smiling from their heart, from the depth of their hearts. It's something extraordinary here. I've never witnessed such faces and such free feeling, and they're dancing. They're not trying to show off or impress anyone. They're all the ladies in the back and the men in the front, or the women in the front or men in the back, who's ever running that temple. If women are running, then the women are in the front, the men are in the back. If the men are running, the men are in the front. These are politics. Whatever. But I see all the faces of the devotees. They're all looking at this statue. There's some statue in the front, and they're all just looking there. They're not looking at us or look at me dance. I'm showing. No, they're all locked in a beautiful, loving gaze, looking at some lord and some statue. And it's a beautiful scene. It's so colorful. It's so joyful. I don't know what they're saying. Is that maybe this is Hare Krishna or something? Oh, there's some sign on the wall. Please chant this mantra. H-A-R-E. Hare. Rabbit? Hare? H-A-R-E means rabbit. Hare. Okay. Hare. Kri. Kri. Krishna, and then Hare. Oh, Rama. Oh, yeah. There's a laundromat where I wash my clothes. Where I wash my clothes, there's a laundromat. Automatic machines where I put my clothes and wash my clothes. It's called Laundrama. Oh, yeah. I know. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. But that doesn't sound like what they're singing. They're not singing Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. They're singing Hare. Hare! 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 They're saying Hare. Well, I can say that. I remember once about 50 years ago when I was really happy, I said Hare. No, you say Hare when you're happy. You say Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare. I don't know, maybe I can try that. Hare Krishna. And he's trying, and pretty soon, and then he says, well, I can't sit here anymore. And he stands up on the side watching Hare Krishna, and someone comes over and says, hey, why don't you come and dance? Of course, I like to dance. I went to the disco so many times and danced. I don't know if I can do this Hare Krishna dance, but okay, this nice person came. He looked so friendly. Such a nice person. Nice guy. Come. Okay, then pretty soon I'm chanting and dancing like that. And then my life has completely changed. And that's what he said. See for yourself. That's what the verse says. See for yourself. And there are countless examples of what I've narrated in the last couple minutes all around the world. I think all of you witnessed such transformations. What devotees, the Bhakta Prabhav, the influence of pure devotion embodied in a devotee, or a Vaishnavi or a Vaishnava, and the influence of the pure holy name, Shudanam. Because pure holy name arises when many people get together and chant Hare Krishna. The Lord becomes pleased by the intensity, by the effort, by the surrender. And the holy name descends in that assembly, and people become affected. Then this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, if they happen to see out of curiosity, their minds will be twisted, he says. This is clear proof that these people are increasing their numbers. Paramasubudichila nimai pandit egulara sangetora hinohoila chitta. Previously, before this all started, Nimai Pandit was a most intelligent young man. Now, by the association of these ISKCON people, by the association of these fellows, his mind has changed. Gulara Sange. Kehabale Atmavina Sakshat Kariha. Dakile ki karya hoya na janila iha. Someone said, actually the real problem is that these people have not realized the self, the Atma. Atma vina sakshat karya. They have no direct understanding, they have no perception of the Atma. They don't know what all their loud calling will produce. Purport. Someone said, without realizing oneself, how will one benefit by simply calling out Krishna, Krishna? So they are advocates, this group of people outside Shiva Sangam. They are advocates of first become pure devotee, then chant Hare Krishna. First realize yourself, and then chant Hare Krishna. They don't understand that we will never realize ourselves unless we chant Hare Krishna. Cheto dharmana marjanam, bhava mahadavagam nirvapanam. Apana sharira maje ache niranjan, gari haraya dhana chahi giyavan. This person goes on to pontificate about his philosophical principle. The Supreme Brahman is present within one's body. These people are like those who lose something at home and search for it in the forest. Keha Bale, in other words, he's saying that you have to look within. The kingdom of God is within. What is all this shouting? Shout Hare Krishna, Hare Bo, be quiet. Moni, be quiet. You meditate quietly and realize the Paramatma, the Supreme Brahman. He's not saying Paramatma, but he's saying Supreme Brahman within. Namo Narayan. You meditate, you'll realize. Meditate, realize. They have these different slogans from different yoga groups. meditate, realize, something like that. So he is saying this, that why making all these eyes going, it's like instead of sitting at home quietly and meditating and realizing that Supreme Brahman is within you and you are that Supreme Brahman. Tattvamasi, running around in the forest on the banks of the Yamuna, they're gathering in Shiva Sangha and making so much noise, shouting out, what is a big disturbance? No result. This is not the way to do it. People say the same thing to us. Meditation should be, we say this is mantra meditation. We say, mantra meditation. Well, why are you making so much noise? You're making so much noise, it's supposed to be meditation. Meditation is quiet. Oh no, this is dynamic meditation. This is not some static meditation. This is dynamic and ecstatic. Not quiet and static. Someone else said, Keha Bhale, Kon Karya Parere, Charchiya, Chalasabe Gharajai, E Karya Dhekiya. What is the use of criticizing others? Let's go home. Why are we wasting our time standing outside this wall? What is the use of watching something we can't even see? Now, this was a smart guy. This is the first smart guy that we've heard all the last couple of days. Everyone else is hanging around for hours talking about all these crazy talks. So the purport is, there's no benefit in talking topics about other people. Let us go perform our own duties. So he's advocating the my own philosophy. My own, right? Mind your own business. My own. He's saying, why are we sitting around here gossiping about the brahmacharis in ISKCON? Why are we sitting here gossiping about the grihasthas or the sannyasis? Forget it. Let them carry on their way. We have other work to do. We have to do our business of hearing and chanting, maintaining our social positions and our families, etc. Keha vale natek hila nija karma dosh se sabha sukriti ta sabhare bhale ki se. Someone else said, we could not see them due to our past misdeeds. They are fortunate. So why should we blame them? Now we're hearing some comments from some intelligent, non-envious Brahmins. This is a fact. Yes, sir, that's a fact. You are unfortunate. Therefore, you're not inside. You're on the outside looking in. Not on the inside looking out. Nija karma dosh, dekila nija karma dosh, sa sabha sukriti samhari. He says, nija karma dosh, it's our own karma, nija karma dosh, it's our own fault. It's our bad karma, our misdeeds in previous lives which have denied us the access to this kirtan, and denied us the association of Mahaprabhu and all those wonderful pure devotees. And they have, what do they have? What did they do? Just the opposite. Say sabha sukriti. All of them have so much good deeds, accumulated so much religious piety from previous lives to be there. They are the chosen ones, the fortunate ones, the lucky ones. Sakala pashandi thara ekaccha pahana eho se ekhana hina bhuji jaya dhana. The atheists, pashandis, the word is pashandis, the atheists gather together and chase that person away. That person means the person who just spoke something sensible. He's the first person. Of course, some of the statements the previous ones said are also philosophically can be understood, which I explained. But they were said in an envious, anti-negative mood, a negative connotation of the actual statement. But this person previously, he spoke a very positive and correct philosophical statement. They are fortunate, we are unfortunate. And some of the atheists that were also standing there, it was a mixed crowd. There were some hardcore atheists. Whenever we go on the streets and do sankirtan, not everybody is a hardcore atheist. There are sensitive people. There are sensible, rational, reasonable people. There are irrational fools. There are sympathetic people. There are outright atheists. There's hardcore demons. All types of people in the world. Of course, 75% of the people in Kali Yuga are anti-party, negative. Basically, atheists are leaning in that direction. One foot in an agnostic boat and one foot in an atheistic boat. Not very favorable. So this is the situation. So this person, he's starting to speak on behalf of the Kirtaniers. So they say, get out from here, who are you? Because obviously the majority in this gathering, the majority of people were atheists. They chased that person away and they were thinking, hey, this guy is one of those guys. He's a spy from, he's one of these ISKCON guys undercover. He's out here mixing with us just to see what our opinion is. He must be a spy. Hey, drive him away, out, go, out. O kirtana na dekile ki hai be manda shata shata vedi jena kari maha dvanda. What is the loss if we do not see their kirtan? Their kirtan is like a big argument. Like a bunch of people fighting. Ah, you this, hey, what's this, hey, come on, that's your fault, that's my fault. What do you mean? Get out of your head, get out of your head, I'll kill you, out of your head. Come on. It's a big argument. It sounds like a big argument among hundreds of people, not two, three, hundreds of people are arguing. Now, the beat goes on. more statements from the anti-party. So after you've heard all this for 4 days, you'll be maybe fed up with these anti-parties. Anyway, this is our Chaitanya Bhagavat. We have our Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Bhagavat given by the same person in different time periods. And they're both important for our nourishment. In one sense, Chaitanya Bhagavat gives us access into the esoterica of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what acharyas say. So they're like two sides of the same coin of devotion. We need both of them very, very, very dearly. Kon japa kon tap vigyan tahane dekhiye kori nija karma dhyan chala kala dukta dhari ekacha kariya jati nasha kari khaya ekacha haya. They go on. We do not see them doing any jap. Jap means chanting mantras silently. They don't chant Hare Krishna. Jap means some beads and you're just counting the number of mantras that are silently chanted in your mind on a set of beads. That's what they mean by jap. We don't see them doing any jap. We don't see them doing any austerities. They're always having all these big feasts, Janmashtami, 108 preparations on Janmashtami, then Radhashtami. These guys are eating all the time. I don't see them doing any austerities. Where is their Chandrayana Brat? Where is their Dwadasi Brat? Where is their Nirjal Brat? Where is their Chaturmasya? Chaturmasya, what do they do with Chaturmasya? 1 month no spinach, 1 month no yogurt. Kakure, what is this? This is austerity, you give us spinach? They probably don't like spinach anyway. What's the big deal? Chaturmasya, there's 150 things you can't eat. Then different things in different months that you can't eat. 20 different things. They don't do any austerities. And I don't see that they're cultivating any spiritual knowledge. I never see any books under their arms. They never have any classes. They just go all the time, Hare Krishna, day and night, Hare Krishna. They never stop chanting Hare Krishna. They're always crying and chanting and dancing, eating. All they do is eat, sing, dance, and cry. What kind of spiritual sadhana is this? Eating, chanting, dancing, and crying? These are a bunch of babies, grown-up babies. This is not any serious sadhana. Kon, tap, jap. See here the words. Everyone understands these words. Kon, jap, kon, tap, vigyan. What is their tap vigyan? What knowledge do they have? The Siddhanta. Vedic truth. Yeah, they're all pagal. Mork. Fools. All rickshawas. They park the rickshaws outside Shiva Sangam. No, it's not like that because they're all Brahmins. But they and nowadays everybody's in the kirtan, all classes, but then it was started with the Brahmins. Lord Chaitanya started the Sankirtan movement with the Brahmins and it spread to all social classes. Of course, Haridas was there. He was an outcast. But eventually it went to all the classes, all the castes.
They simply engage in their concocted means made up, concocted activities, and they ruin their caste, their social position, by gathering, collecting rice, by begging bananas, milk, and yogurt, and then they sit down and eat all together. Indians eat with Russians. Russians eat with Americans. British eat with the French. Right? These are all arch enemies, right? Irish eat with the English. Blacks eat with the whites or whatever, all these anti-parties. Former Muslims are eating lunch with Hindus. What is this? All caste, creed, gender, all out the window, in the garbage can. And all the Brahmins know, they know all that, they know all of the yamas and niyamas. This is a big no-no. Before you go to, whenever anyone gives any feeding, first they feed the Brahmins. Well, they call in all the Brahmins and feed the Brahmins. And they go. Then they call in all the Kshatriyas and they go. Then they call in the Vaishyas. They don't mix one social order with the other. They can't even enter the compound where the food is being distributed until all the Brahmins leave the compound. Every single Brahmin is out. Then they clean the whole area. Then they call in the Kshatriyas. And then they go out. Then they call in the Vaishyas. Then they go out. And they call in the Shudras. Then they go out. And then they take all the leftovers and they go outside the compound and feed the dogs and untouchables and chandalas, etc. This is the standard 500 years ago. But Lord Chaitanya didn't care. He didn't care. Come on, everyone! Gather together, chant and dance and take prasadam. This is a movement of love. In love there's no rules. In rules there's no love. The only rule here is surrender. Sharanagati. Sharanapati. Sharanapati or Sharanagati. Surrender. Atma Sharanapati. Surrender the self to the holy name. And you will never be the same. Join us. Don't cast, creed, nothing, no bar, no requirements, no entrance fees. Simply surrender, take the holy name, chant with us, and all perfection will come in your hand. Parihase asi sabe dekhi baratare dekhiyo bhagul gula kon karma kare. Now Vrindavan Das Thakur takes up the thread of the conversation. Now these Pashandis and reasonable people and one good guy, he got driven away. There was one good guy, he got driven away. And all the atheists gathered together and drove that rational person away from the assembly. Now Vrindavan Das Thakur steps into the narrative. He steps into the narrative to tie up everything and to give us some understanding. But during the whole course of the Leela, or any Leelas, or any Shastra, we should become involved. We should become absorbed. We should become immersed to the exclusion of anything and everything else. For example, that's what people do that have movie theaters. People have movie theaters. They establish a disturbance-free environment. They establish a disturbance-free environment in a movie or cinema hall or movie theater. Cinema hall, people call it. Because they want the people that come in that cinema hall to fully absorb themselves in one thing, and that silver screen in front of their eyes. They don't want their eyes to look to the right, to the left, to the up, to the down. They don't want them to hear any other sound. They don't want them to think any other thought. They don't want them to touch anything or do anything. Just sit in that chair, glue your body in the chair of the cinema hall, open your eyes, open your mind, let all the trash, or maybe it's a good movie, but let's say bad movie, let all the trash of that bad movie come into your mind, heart, being, and totally be absorbed. It's a totally pitch black room, you can't see your hand in front of you, you can't even see your hand, it's cave black, pitch black. Everyone's been to a theater at least once in their life, I'm sure. And then the speakers in the theater, they're everywhere. They're in your seat. They're in the ceiling. And the sound is tremendous. You can't hear. You're like quadraphonic in all directions, drums and horses galloping here and through. The horses gallops inside this side of your head and comes out this side. that horse just stepped on my brain on the way through my head. Three hours transfixed, stumba, ashtasattvic bhav, stumba. Stumba means like a column. Stumba, kumba, you say kumba, or stumba means a column, frozen stiff like a pillar in a building. And then everyone's totally entranced, and when the movie's over, no one can move, so then they turn all these bright lights on. They turn all these bright lights on in the dark room of the cinema hall, and the guy comes, okay, everybody, the movie's over. Oh, yeah. And then they somehow get out of their seat and stumble out of the cinema hall, totally dazed, crazed, and bewildered. And Maya has done a very good job of totally mesmerizing the 500 people in the cinema hall. That type of absorption, we should somehow create such an environment, physically, emotionally, mentally, close all the windows, doors, close all the curtains, turn all the lights off, put blinders on our eyes, and enter the shastra with that type of wide-open reception. Wide-open reception, wide-open mind, wide-open heart, wide-open intelligence, to receive all the pure flow of nectar coming from the shastra. That the Maya and the money makers that have such a perfect environment to mesmerize and fill everybody with non-Krishna thoughts and feelings and desires. So we should enter shastra with that type of absorption. Because when you watch a movie, you go, now it's a movie from 16th century India. Akbar, the Muslim emperor Akbar is in charge of India. So now all the scenery is 16th century clothing and 16th century bullock carts. There's no Ferraris and Maseratis and, you know, it's not some modern movie set in Rome or something. A modern contemporary movie set. It's 1600s in India. 400 years ago. All the costumes and all the way people speak and all the buildings and architecture. So you get right into it. You're right there. You go back 400 years. Wow. Look at that. Oh, there are no cars. People are going. They're going in horses and carts everywhere. And there's no electric street lights. There's some torches on the streets for lighting. And there's some candles in the buildings. There's no flip a switch and have a fluorescent tube. And you see all the sights in the movie. And you're really there. You've entered into a time machine through the means of the cinema. So the shastra should be transcendental time machines. We enter deeply into the time machine of the shastra. We go back in time like a movie hypnotizes you with light. A movie is nothing but light. Particles of light hitting a silver screen, creating such vast impact. So this is nothing but particles of ink. Particles of ink, black ink on white paper. It's also some mixture of material energy. And it can also create such an impact if we open ourselves and prepare ourselves for such total absorption and reception of the divine message and transcendental pictures given therein. So we open the book and say, oh, what is this movie about? Oh, this is 15th century Navadvip. Oh, this is a movie about 15th century Navadvip. Yes, it's called Chaitanya Bhagavat. Oh, who's the star of the movie? Oh, he's really beautiful and handsome. Watch out. What does he look like? Oh, he's 7 feet tall. 7 feet tall? Yeah. He has a golden body. So shiny and effulgent. Beautiful broad chest. He has beautiful black, long, wavy hair. And his eyes are so attractive. Like, look, really? I saw another movie before with the same actor. I read Adi Kanda. I read Madhyakanda. I saw the Madhyakanda movie, and he was starring in that movie also. There was Gauranga. Oh, who was the co-star? Well, the co-star was Nityananda. Oh, he was the co-star? Yes. Who were some of the other cast? Oh, there was Srivas Thakur. Oh, what did he look? Oh, he had a red dhoti and he had a blue dhoti. Wow. Well, what is this movie about? And then you get into it. Oh, and then the Srivas Angam, and it looks like this and like this, and this is, but we love the shastra. Oh, this is nice. This is really nice. It's really nice. I think everyone's had the experience.
This is realized tattva. I'm only showing you and speaking on my own personal realization. We too have done just that. Books flying here and there in 10 directions, body going in another direction, waking up 6 hours later not knowing what the hell happened. Where am I and where is the book? What happened? What happened was Tamagun, Nidra Devi. The snake of time swallowed me up and took me away. What to do? try it again. But did you ever see anybody fall asleep in a movie? Maybe someone had worked all day, but generally you don't see anybody like this. They're wide awake. Wide awake. So this is a side point, tangential point. But the idea as we want to convey is that from our own experience, the more we try, as much as we can, within our means, the more we try to become absorbed in Shastra, the more the Shastra, the author of the Shastra, and the personalities within the Shastra, they reciprocate with us. Because it's just like attentive chanting of the holy name. The more we try to chant attentively, the more we try to chant with attention or attentively to the holy name, the more the holy name becomes attentive to us. If we chant attentively, then the holy name is, if we have inattention, then the holy name has inattention. You have no attention for me, then I have no attention for you. If you have attention for me and you're very attentive and wrapped in my sound and my form and my qualities and meaning, then I will become wrapped and absorbed in your form and your qualities and meaning, and I will enhance the meaning of your life, and I will change the form of your life, and I will change your very form from prakriti-deha to aprakriti-deha, from material body to spiritual body. Material body is prakriti-deha. Spiritual body is aprakriti-deha. And that will all be given by the holy name when we become attentive. Just like if you're inattentive and careless and carefree about some wealthy person, oh, what do I care about that wealthy person? And he thinks, well, what do I care about you? You become very attentive and careful of that wealthy person, and you come to him humbly and say, please, may I serve you? What do you want? No, I just want to serve you. I don't want anything. You don't want anything. Everyone comes to me looking for money. No, I don't want any money. I just want to serve. Okay, sir. And you humbly serve, very attentively, very carefully, very lovingly, this wealthy man, for several months, without asking anything. He said, listen, son, you've been serving me for months. You never ask for food. You never ask for clothing. I don't know where you live. You come here every morning. You go every evening. My heart has been captured by your attention, by your feelings, by your submission, service, and loving attitude. You've captured me. Now I want to become attentive to your needs. What do you want? Oh, well, and then whatever you want. So the holy name is the supreme person, the supreme employer of the entire universe. The holy name is employing everyone in the whole universe. They're all working for Krishna, directly or indirectly, knowing or unknowingly. So the more we become attentive to Shastra becomes alive, wide, technicolor, wraparound sound, cinematonic, or I don't know what terms they use nowadays. Cinematonic or supersonic or whatever kind of color and ultra color and this and that. It becomes so colorful and so dramatic, so exciting. So we should change our outlook and increase our absorption in Shastra. Tomorrow we'll continue this story, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Srimadana Das Thakur Ki Jai, Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Vaishnava Sarasanga Ki Jai.